You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of Luke and chapter 22 for a moment. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your personal presence. Thank you for the person and work, O Lord, that you performed, that we might have the benefits and the blessings of knowing you, even our Heavenly Father. And Spirit of God, you make all that possible. So thank you again for what you're doing. Thank you, our God, for the snow that comes and goes. Thank you for the temperature that rises and falls. Thank you for the consistency of your wonderful person. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very much for the safety, the security, the surety that is ours in your wonderful person. Thank you very much in Christ's name. Amen. In our study of the Gospel of John in the upper room, chapter 13, 14, etc., and in our study of that, we have found that the disciples, the 10 that are left, are having to be exercised in a wonderful way. It's a very privileged time for them. Our Lord is going to leave, and he's filling in the details and things they need to understand. And they're going to need to understand them in the future, and he helps them. Knowing the future, he helps them, especially what they do need to know. Now, having said that, so as we have looked at that, they've been 3 1/3 years with our Lord. They have gone through all kinds of things. He has personally cared for them in every way, physically, mentally, and spiritually. He's taken care of them. And in spite of everything else that's going on, they have been very attached, understandably, very committed, no question, to it. And so now, as they're coming to the last hours, literally, before his crucifixion, then all of this, all their dreams, all their aspirations, all that they looked for, their hopes, their desires, are all going down the tubes. And they're facing death, prison, the continuance of all the unbelief of Israel, the unbelief of Rome, the world system prevails. They lose. It's a losing situation. Not good at all. For all that took place in 3 1/3 years, we have nothing. Wow. Now, having said that, God has helped them. But when you're in that place, and God has made it clear, as we shared in Sunday school, nothing was going to happen until Christ died on the cross and the Spirit of God made all of it possible. And without that, none of it would be possible. So all of it is a whole lot of words. The letter killeth, the Spirit giveth life. And all they have is a whole lot of words and thoughts and good memories. Nothing else. So it's a very troubling time, terrible, troubling time, and there's no hope. So, but God has given them all kinds of things to be stimulated and encouraged. And we share together, among other things, in Luke and chapter 22, we share together the fact that even though all of these things are going to happen, that Satan is going to shift them. We shared that in chapter 22. And in a sliding, if I can, in verse 31, and Satan is going to test not only Peter, but the other 10, and he's going to test the 10 of them. And in the process, they're going to be tested. But they didn't catch that. They didn't catch that. Not just Peter, the rest of them, all 11, they just didn't catch it. And a lot of things are said and done that people don't catch. It went right past them. And that's what happened. Now, not only that, dear friends, but their inability to cope with the temple police, the temple authorities, and they aren't able to do so. And the best they can do is come up, as we share together, verse 36 and verse 37. They said, we have, verse 38, we have two swords. Peter had one, and one of the others had another one. And what are two swords going to do against the enemy? How do you go and fight the police, the attending police of the temple, and the military soldiers of the Rome? What are you going to do against that onslaught of manpower with two swords, let alone with 11 of you? What do you think you're going to do? And so they didn't catch that either. And God told them he'd take care of them, but they didn't catch that. And remember, he said in verse 35, when I did everything for you, you had not even shoes, money, change of clothes. I sent you forth, and you had everything. And then he said, when you're all done, guys, let me rehearse, tell me, did you guys ever lack anything during that mission I sent you on more than once? Did you ever lack anything? And they said, no. So when you put the pieces together, God is trying to tell, but it doesn't connect. And so all of those wonderful truths just weren't connecting in there. And God gave them an awesome future. He told them, verse 29, etc., he appointed to them in the kingdom a wonderful position in the kingdom coming up. But they didn't catch that either. They just didn't get any of that. So now in the process, in the prophets, having missed it all, and remember 6 months earlier in Matthew 16, 21, he told them he must go to Jerusalem and die. That was 6 months ago. And he's been telling them all the way for 6 months, and now in the upper room, he's banging away to help them understand. But none of it's connecting. And when you're set, when you're locked on to what you are, it's hard to get anything else in. It's hard to get understanding for humans today, for us and for them. And so therefore we understand where they're coming from, and we would be like them more than likely. So they're wrong thinking. They aren't thinking right. And therefore, they're missing what is needed to understand all the events that were going to happen, his crucifixion and all of those things. But they aren't putting the pieces together to be able to get through it. So therefore, it's more troubling. The trouble is troubling because they aren't seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. They aren't having any hope. It isn't working. So they're busy, wayward, wandering, worrying, wanting, doing everything except what they should do, because their thinking's wrong. Therefore, John chapter 14. Now, this is in the same period, same flow of the chronology movement. Chapter 14. John is just going to hit the main issue. What was the main issue? Up in chapter 13, he said, I'm going to go away, verse 33, and you cannot come now. You cannot come with me. Well, we've been coming with you for 3 1/3 years. What do you mean we can't come with you? That was the issue. Of all the things they should have caught, we just read them a little bit to remind ourselves. They should have, did you guys get anything? No, the only thing we want to know is, why can't we keep following you? Boy, they were stubborn and locked in. And therefore, that's how John writes it. That was their main issue. The other things didn't matter. So now, chapter 13, we go to chapter, Peter's going to deny the Lord 3 times. That's an awesome thought. But, Peter, did you hear that? No, I'm never going to do that. We'll never, remember, they said it, Luke and that, we shared, that we aren't going to deny you. We aren't going to go to prison with you. We're willing to go to prison with you. We're willing to die with you. And we aren't going to deny you. We aren't going to do any of those things. Now, so our Lord, are you going to answer their question, why can't they go? No, not yet. John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Now you believe God? We do. Believe me. I've told you 5,000 times, I'm God in the flesh. So you got God, the Messiah, the Christ, the awesome, you're in his presence, and I'm standing in front of you. God, you believe in God? Believe in me. I'm God. Don't let your heart be troubled. The word trouble in the passive present tense, to stir up. Don't keep letting your heart getting stirred up, stirred like the water in the pool. Trouble, trembling, disturbed, commotion of mind and heart, alarm. Don't let your mind get all bothered in your thinking. Don't let that happen. Don't let that happen at all. Now, having said that, don't let that happen. And considering that, now, having said that, now, I'm going to jump ahead a little bit. Now, what are they missing? They're missing all the wonderful things that God has put in front of them and told them to be encouraged. Don't be discouraged, be encouraged. Do you remember when Job was going through all his things? And Job said in chapter 19, etc., he said, you know, my body's going to go to the dust and to the worms are going to eat it. But I'm going to be in the presence of God. Job, you said that. I did. So Job, were you concerned about the awesome trouble you were in? I was, but when it's done, I understand. That's all going to disappear because I'm moving forward. Hold your finger here a moment and go over with me, please, to Psalm 60. Psalm 60. I'm just going to give you a little reminder, a sample of good thinking. Psalm 16, David, I'm going to slide, if I can, directly to verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Now that's how David, looking at your Absalom, looking at all of those things, God, I got a wonderful future. Chapter 17, David again, verse 15. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Boy, are you guys with it. They were with it. Job, David, they had it. And they were in awesome straits often. Chapter 20, Psalm 27. Psalm 27, verse 4. David again. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. What is that? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To behold, for what reason? To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. I want to know you. And that's my future. Back over to John chapter 14. God is trying to help them. But you know, when you're in things like that, the old nature just doesn't want to have any hope. Just doesn't want to understand. It just wants to stupidly, if I may, go on its course. It won't fix it. Fix it. Fix your thinking. But they didn't. So now, here's Peter. Among the rest of them, the other 10, here they are, and I'm going to look at Peter. I'm interested, God, you're trying to help them understand. Now, did they ultimately understand? Uh-huh. They did on Pentecost. They understood all of it. Resurrection, Pentecost, all of it. Boy, the light turned on and everything was simple. All difficulties and dangers and trouble all disappeared because they had the light. Without light, I'm in the dark. Now, over to 1 Peter. Peter, let's see how Peter did. And Peter's going to tell us, in his wonderful way, he's going to tell us that all of the wonderful things that he just didn't get. He did get it, but he wished he had got it earlier, but he didn't. So here's 1 Peter, and remember now, they needed encouragement. They didn't find it. They did find it on the day of Pentecost, etc. God put it all together for them. So, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, Peter is going to tell us, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively, living hope, a wonderful, wonderful anticipation and expectation. Now, Peter, did you know that in the upper room? No. But have I got it now? In all the persecution and everything, I've got it. Having begotten us again unto a lively, living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Wow. And sliding over, if I may. Verse 20, we read. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world and was manifest in these last times for you. Verse 21. Who, by him, do believe in God. John 14, 1. Believe in God, believe also in me. Peter, you got it. I did. Verse 21. Who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that, reason, purpose, your faith and the hope might be in God. So, Peter, you're looking at the circumstances, you're looking at the situation, and you aren't looking to God. Peter said, you need to have a living hope, lively, full of life, and you need to have hope. Hope where? Hope, where am I going to be expecting, anticipating, looking to? God. How so? 1 Peter, if I can, let me go a little further then. 1 Peter, ode to chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And here's our little word, troubled, you have in John 14, 1. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid, don't be afraid, of their terrors, neither be troubled. Don't get all stirred up inside of what's happening. Boy, what are you going to do? Verse 15, sanctify the Lord God. Remember, your hope is in God, your faith is in God. And to sanctify, set apart God so that you're looking to Him and not mixing it up in a big mess with a whole lot of other things. Get God clearly focused in your mind in the person of Jesus Christ. The Lord said in John 14, 1, believe in God, believe also in me, who I am. Therefore, sanctify the Lord God in the heart, and be ready always to give an answer to everyone that asketh you a reason, what do they want to know? Of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. They want to understand your hope. They want to understand what stimulus is there, what is motivating you, moving you to go forward in the light of everything. I want to know about your hope. That's what I want to know. Tell me about your hope. Your hope. Not your health, not your wealth, not your knowledge, but your hope. Lord, what are you trying to do? I'm trying to help them, but they weren't ready for it. Now, having got that part, sanctify the Lord God that they might know the hope, the expectation, anticipation, looking for something with desire, hoping in, looking to, trusting in, confiding in. Wow. Now, having said that, so the hope in you, now you don't have to, you know all the, let's put it together again to connect the dots over to Colossians. Over, if you would, to the book of Colossians. And if I may, picking up in thought, Colossians, just getting the flavor of it again, because God keeps helping us if we just read and let God put it to work in our little lives. Colossians 1, verse 5, like the recipes we did in Sunday school, recipes, the ingredients. God just needs a kitchen. They're God's recipes, God's word, God's wonderful promises. But He needs a kitchen to cook them in, and that's where your heart was created. Now, Colossians 1, verse 5. For the hope, I'll read verse 4 for context. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope, there we are, which is laid up for you in heaven, whereby you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. So the wonderful hope is in heaven. A wonderful hope is in heaven for you. That's a future. You aren't here, you're still here, but in heaven, David said, the psalmist will say, whom have I in heaven but you, God? I'm looking to be your likeness. I'm looking to be changed. I just want to get with you, God. I want to be where you are. In a wonderful way. Now, so here's Colossians, as we shared in chapter 1 and in verse 5 and in verse 23. And if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, the good news, wonderful good news, which you have heard, which was preached to every creature, which is under heaven, whereby I, Paul, am made a minister. I'm serving. It's a wonderful hope. The good news. It's in heaven. It's good news. It's all about a wonderful, wonderful anticipation, expectation. Now, remember now, sanctify the Lord God in your heart and give a reason for the hope that is in you. In you. Okay, what hope is in me? Well, I understand this and understand that. No, that's all may be and that may not be. Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. What is this mystery about? Among the Gentiles, that's us, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, what is the reason, the hope within you? It's Christ. God said, believe in me. The Lord said, believe in me, believe in God. Do you understand who I am? When I'm going to be in your life in a wonderful way, and I am the hope. Tell me a reason of the hope that's in you. I'm going to tell you about my wonderful Lord and Savior who died for me and saved me. I have a wonderful timelessness of life in a life that's being wasted, gone, and eaten away daily. Wow. A wonderful life. God, I have that, and it's in Christ. What is the hope? I'm not going to spell out a sentence for you. I'm going to tell you a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ in you, Christ in the believing heart, the hope of glory. In heaven is your glory. It's waiting for you. So God, here we are on planet Earth with all the stuff going on, but there's an awesome movement. What is it? It's moving forward in the thick and thin of it so that we have some expectancy, anticipation. Are we coming to, is there an end to the tunnel? Is there a sunrise in the night, following the night? Now, Christ in you, the hope of glory, God's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful working. Now, having said that, go with me now. You got that part. Now, just watch how God over and over and over again says it. You have to have it. You have to understand it. Now, over, if you would please, in your Bible, over to Romans. Romans in chapter 4. And we'll just do that. God, you do it all over the place so that we understand and that we can handle things. Otherwise, chapter 4, looking at this wonderful truth, chapter 4, picking up, please, if I can, with Abraham. Remember now Abraham, etc. I'm going to read verse 18, who against hope believed in hope. It doesn't make sense. You're 100 years old. Sarah is 100 years old almost. It doesn't make sense that we could ever have an Isaac. It's impossible. There's no hope here, but against that impossibility, there is hope. Where is that hope? In God. Therefore, verse 18 again, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. And he's just going to trust God. That's what he's going to do. Now, over to chapter 5. God, you're going to say it again to us. Job, David, Abraham, Peter, James, Paul, you guys are going to have it, but you're going to have to understand, you got to believe, and you got to look to me for a changed thinking. Fix your thinking. Chapter 5, I'm sliding if I can, verse 2, a little time's sake, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, whereby we stand in this grace, and we're rejoicing in hope of the glory of God. So God, it's an awesome thing. Believe in God, believe also in me. Do you understand? It's an awesome thing. You should have full of hope. What's on earth are you in the darkness when I'm a God of light? Not darkness. Wow. So sliding along, as you know, I'll read it quick because it'll flow right along. Verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, bearing up under the load, and patience, verse 4, produces experience, approving, over and over again. You've proved, you do the job over and over, and you get real, real confident in it. In verse 4, and patience, experience, and experience, what? It gives you great hope. Because you're used to the job. You're used to the job. And the hope, verse 5, maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So the Spirit of God, are you going to have us be hopeless? Oh, no. No, it's the basis of going forward. We say it over and over and over and over again, and we need to hear it. We need to listen to it. We need to believe it and understand it. God, you're giving it. That's right. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The awesome, awesome movement. Now, sliding over to chapter 12. In chapter 12, picking up the thought, you would recall in the list of admonitions, chapter 12, in verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Praying all the time, like we did on Wednesday. Wow, that's right. And rejoicing in hope. Oh, hope. No matter what the moment is, you're going to go to the next moment. This moment can only be a moment. And then the next moment's going to occur. This afternoon is going to happen. This evening's going to happen. Tomorrow morning's going to happen. Just keeps moving. Can't stop the clock. Can't stop the calendar. Just keeps going. Wow. Hope. That's what you have. That's how it goes. Hope. What are you anticipating? What are you expecting? What are you looking for? Desire. What are you? God, we're looking. We have to have that to motivate, to move us rightly, properly. Otherwise, we're improper and we don't move rightly. Chapter 15. In chapter 15, picking up, if I may, in verse 3, for even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For God, you let all of that happen. You bore it, and you carried it and took care of it on the cross. Verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Why? That we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, that's why we're reading them. How are you going to get hope? That you might have hope. I could just tell you, be hopeful and be encouraged. I can tell you that. Yay! What's the authority for it? What's the basis of it? Where's it rooted? Give me the plant. Is the plant solid? Yes. It's in the Scriptures. In my written word, I wrote it. The letter is going to, think of Sunday school, the letter is going to kill. All you'll do is read it. It will go nowhere. You must give it life. The Spirit of God gives it life. You cannot give it life. All your belief in the world won't give it one drop of life. God does. When you believe, God gives it life. And like we shared, the peace of God which passes all understanding becomes real. He does that. You don't do that. You couldn't do that. And that's why most believers, professing believers, live bankrupt lives, like in the wilderness, because they don't connect. A lot of talk, no life, no life. Wow. Now, so, the scriptures. The scriptures, we might have hope. Now, verse 5, the God of patience, bearing up under, we just read that in Romans 5, the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. That's what we're lining up with. How does God think? Not how do you think or how do I think. How does God think? That's what you want to know. How does God think? That's what I want to know. How does God think? Because that's what we have to line up with. Now, having said that, just slide over along in wonderful context. Verse 13. In the light of that, now the God of hope, hope, Christ, think of 1 Timothy 1:1, Christ is the Lord, Christ Jesus is our hope. Straightway, he is our hope. Therefore, verse 13, chapter 15 of Romans, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace In believing, of that purpose you may abound in what? Hope. In hope. You're excited. That's what's moving you. That's how you get through things. You don't fall, don't become a crippled, become a casualty because you didn't think it through. You keep understanding, I got to go further. And every time we share that with somebody, you know, every time you get a question answered, you're going to have more questions. The more you read, the more questions you have. The more you have to learn, the more you have to wait. The more you wait, the more you learn, the more questions. It's endless. Endless. And you go down the corridor. And it keeps us alert and healthy because we're looking for the next thing, for God, your wonderful working and purpose. And therefore, in verse 13 again, peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And who? Back to the Sunday school. How are you going to do it? You can't do it. Only God does it. God has to give you that excitement, that sureness, that fullness. Without it, you don't have it. You don't have it. Wow. And we have it according to the scriptures. God, you make the scriptures live. That's right. I wrote them. They're about me. All the ingredients in the recipe are mine. You can't have any of the ingredients without me. I am the ingredients. I am the recipe. I am the ingredients. And I'm the one that produces it. Without me, you can do how much? Nothing. He said it clearly. Without me, you can do nothing. Nothing means how much? Nothing. Wow. Okay. So here we are looking, God, and it's all, God, we should have this wonderful, wonderful expectation and hope in a most wonderful way. Over, if you would, please, to Hebrews. Hebrews, if I may, in the light of our hymn, my anchor holds and grips the solid rock. Hebrews chapter 6, you're going to tell us, God, I am going to help you. Therefore, chapter 6, picking up, please, in verse 11. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. So you hope. Now, that's not doubt. No, that's anticipation. I'm looking, I'm hoping, I'm expecting, I'm anticipating. Wow. Hope. Therefore, unto the end, that you may be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. He wanted to tell Abraham, you can count on Isaac. Even though you're going to be 100 years old, It's quite possible. If I want it, it's possible. And therefore, I encouraged him. How did you encourage Abraham? I said, Abraham, I swear by myself. Remember in court it used to be, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, so help me God. A hand on the Bible. Now, so in the process, God, you're going to do that. I am. That's awesome, just in itself. And then you pick up the thought, if you can, in verse 14. Surely, blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise, and Abraham did. And he had Isaac. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. In other words, you're going to swear, it's all done. It's all done. No more to say. Wherein, God willing, more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise, that's us, joint heirs, the immutability, the unchangeableness of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. He said, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to do it. I said it, I'm going to do it. What more do you want? That's why Job is encouraged, David is encouraged, Abraham is encouraged. We ought to be, Peter, be encouraged. And they were. And they had an awful Peter, a little later, crucified, etc. Now, so therefore, verse 18, that by two immutable, unchangeable things, the promise and the oath, among other things, by two immutable things of which it was impossible for God to lie. And God doesn't lie. He gave his word, his written word. It's living, living. And you can read the dead word without God, just a whole lot of words, and you don't have to believe them. You can shift them around, rip the pages out, throw it in the garbage. But when he's in it, it's real and right, and you cherish it. You cherish the word. You cherish it. It's real. God said it. He meant it. It's real. Wow. A promise and an oath. He said, what more can I do to tell you? Now, and you know all these things. And, verse 18, who have fled a strong consolation, comfort, encouragement, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. And whether the forerunner for us is entered, even Jesus, made an high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Where is he seated? At the right hand of God. Where are we seated? At the right hand of God. God, where's our hope? Christ in you, the hope of glory. So God, you've given us the hope, and you've given us the anchor. Just think of a ship anchored in the port, only this time you got the ship bouncing around in the water, but the anchor's already up here. Where's the anchor? It's seated in heaven. Who's going to lose the ship? It's locked in. Yeah, all it can do, the storms and trouble can come and go, bounce around, but the anchor holds. It isn't going to change. It isn't going to let go. Why not? Because he sits at the right hand of God in his wonderful humanity and deity. And in his deity, he's in the ship. He's in the life. And it's not going anywhere. It's not going anywhere at all. Therefore, I'll read verse 19 again. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth that within the veil, whether the forerunner for us is entered, even Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. God, your wonderful, wonderful, wonderful working. It's an awesome thing, God. An awesome, awesome thing. Now, Having said that, we're going to look for your wonderful, wonderful, over to Titus. All kinds of ways. I just touched a little get you to see it, the hope, so you don't, it's not a little four-letter word that nothing, man, it's right there. And it should be that. We do it all the time. It's just we don't, like now we're trying to bang away at it to see it. Because that's what in the upper room, they just didn't see. All they saw is the world around them. And they had no sense of the reality that the world around them is here only for a moment and it's all gone. Wow. So here, if we can, over in Titus chapter 2, sliding down to verse 13. Blessed, looking for that blessed hope. Blessed hope. That's our Lord. He's coming for us. That's why you can't. We're locked in up there. We're locked in down here. And he's coming to get us there. You can't. The anchor isn't going to break. The rope isn't going to break. And you're going to get there. That's a hope. It's a blessed hope. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Looking for that blessed hope. And the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. God, we're looking. Over, if you would, please, to 1 John. We're looking for your coming. And, in harmony with the Old Testament in a good way, 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, if I may, picking up in thought, as you know, over and over again. If I can, verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons, the children of God, and it doth not yet appear, not yet, what we shall be. In other words, what we are now, we are not going to be later. What we are now, we're not going to be. We're going to be changed. Wow, that's right. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but what do we know? We know that when he shall appear, that blessed hope, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. We're going to be all changed in the twinkling of an eye. We're going to be like you. Like your wonderful, wonderful resurrected body. We're going to have a wonderful, wonderful body, a wonderful relationship, a likeness. So when you see the Lord Jesus Christ, when you look at his body, you'll see him. When you look at the head, you'll see him in the body. We're all going to be like him, like all the bricks, like him. Wow. Now, and every man, verse 3, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. And what are you going to call this whole arrangement? Hope. H-O-P-E. Hope. That's what it is. The blessed hope. That's what stimulates you. We go through, we fall down, break our neck, and have 85 things wrong with us. But that's only for a moment. Because the next moment's coming when that will all be changed. So we're moving forward. With all the bumps and bruises, that's what Peter and them need to, that's why God's giving them all this information. God recorded it afterwards for us to understand it so that we'd go forward, that we would understand how life is. Pick it up tonight when we try it. Now, there was a man going down the country road with his friend. And the man was very troubled and anxious, and he was giving him and echoing his troubles and his anxiety as they walked down the road to his friend. And as they were walking down the road by the wall, the other person that was listening to that saw a cow looking over the wall. And so he interrupted his friend, giving him all his troubles, things he was anxious about. And he asked him, why is the cow looking over the wall? And the man looked at the cow and said, I don't know. And the other man said, because he can't see through it. That's why he's looking over it. You're trying to see through things. Have faith in God. Your hope is in God. Stop looking at stuff here and getting all hung up. Look to God. Our Lord will say it when he went to the cross, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Looking unto Jesus, what? The author and finisher of our faith. Look to me. How do you run the race? You don't want to look down. If you run the race like this, where's my marathon man? And running the race, I look like this. How fast do you think I'm going to run? What do? I look up there. I look up there and plow. If it got football going on. The football man, instead of running, instead of looking to where he's going, he looks at his feet. Remember, you watch him if you see a football game. You watch him, how he looks at his feet, and he hears all these guys coming at him and everything. Do you understand? No. He's looking to get through those guys to the goal line. Wow. Stop looking through the wall. The cow knows better. We ought to be more intelligent than a cow. Look to God and be thankful. Thoughtful. Thoughtful, thankful. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness and all that you're doing, God. We get so easily hung up on little piddly things, God, and we lose out. We just lose out, that's all. And so the anticipation, the excitation for the expectation. God, you're the Spirit of God. It's your wonder. You wonderful do it. You wonderfully do it if we'd but let you. Encourage our little hearts in the thick and thin. We got all kinds of different problems and news and conditions. And God, if we look at them like trying to look through the wall, God, forget looking through the wall. Look to you. You said it over and over and over again. Have faith in you. Let you be the inspiration for our perspiration. God, we get looked at family and everyone else, God, and we get all hung up. We want to help. God, we got to help ourselves first. God, we got to have some solid, wonderful expectation that overcomes and outrises and outweighs everything in and about our lives. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.